Hymn books to number 230, and as you do here in the auditorium, it is a time for me to say thank you that you are listening over KKMC at this hour and over the internet across the nation, across the world. We just came with Raquel from a 3 days tour in San Diego and Los Angeles, preaching across the Southern California, and we met people who receive our tape ministry, and they are very, very happy to be in our church extension. And so we greet them and we thank them that they are co-laborers with us in bringing the gospel, but especially those on the internet that for the first time they click this, the sign KKMC, and then comes the voice of this Spanish pastor speaking to you the gospel. And they are glued over there. And I'm going to announce something I never did, but it's happening. I finished the service and the phone ring from Baltimore and from New Jersey, every place. Our phone line is 778-2595, and one of our secretaries will take care of the phone. We will take your phone number, and we will call you back. Please, I will call you back, but after the service, I'm exhausted when I finish preaching, and maybe my word of counsel will not be so wise if I'm peaceful and relax when you ask me the question. So again, the phone number is 778-2595, and our radio station will flash this over the internet for you so that you can be able to call us. And certainly, we want to counsel you with the Word of God. So now we're going to turn to page 230. Most of the people here know this is my favorite hymn, Save, Save, Save. This is a hymn that speaks about the great power of God in our life. Let's sing together. Once again, we're going to continue in praise with number 176. But before we do so, I'll give you just a quick rundown of what's going to happen today. About 3 o'clock, the Lord's Supper, right after the morning service. At 2 o'clock, the second service. I thank for the elders who handled this. 1 year, Raquel and I, without breathing, we did the whole day and trained you in the ministry. And now at 2 o'clock, the service is run by the elders, and that's wonderful. And then at 3 o'clock, I will have the first lesson on the young people that will come in the table of discussion with the computer screen and everything. And the lesson is church history. This is the first lesson on 52 lessons in church history. And it's entirely different from books. I want you to know where denominations come from. And it's not nice to know. You say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal. What does that mean? You know, we are Christians. And I want to show you the sadness and how people got divided through the year, what year so-and-so did what, and so on. And so I have all the material. I taught 3 times this material in church, and I want to teach the young people that so they know they are anchored in what they know, all right? And when somebody say, I'm a Pentecostal, then they know what that person is. Perhaps even maybe the Pentecostal didn't know where they come from and their views. So you come at 3 o'clock, you know, it's question and answer, and if we have some little words that we need to know, we flash this screen, and we get the dictionary from Oxford, and we get all kinds of things together. Young people love the computer work. Adults are invited, providing that you bring cookies, chocolate especially. All right. Then in the evening at 5 o'clock, we have the evening service. Pastor Steele going on the book of Acts. I guess I'm 1 year already, and Acts 14, word by word, going in and show you what the beginning of the church really have done. Today, how churches are made strong. And I want to remind the whole church, the Christmas cantata is on December the 17th. And for those who are listening, we provide the Christmas cantata in the evening service so that you can come and visit and attend with us. Now let's turn to our hymn books, number 176. Will you stand, please, as we sing together this wonderful song of the Lord, 176. Break thou the bread of life. I love this song because it speaks about the Bible as the bread of life for our life.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, our High Priest. We pray this morning as we share the word of the living God, that each one of us may know him, and that each one of us may have the certainty that in thee we are the children of God, the sons of the living God. And later on, Father, as we share the Lord's Supper, may our joy be complete because we are in him. And as we share the Lord's Supper, we are saying together, the blood of Christ has washed away our sins. Oh, help us, oh God, to be above all Christians, people who know just Jesus and are part of the family of God. We thank you for the privilege of proclaiming thy word. What a joy it is that we are used of God to tell others about the great work and the great power of God when he takes over our life. We are thankful, Father, for our families and your protections about our children and your protections about our grandchildren. And we are grateful for the promises that we are to teach and train them in the word. And then you said in your scripture that one great older will not depart from it. Thank you, Father. We trust you and we love you. And Father, now we also pray for the ministry of our church here in Morgan Hill and there in the Santa Cruz areas and Aptos and wherever people live and come to our church here. And then, Father, through the radio ministry, the internet, the tape ministry, the television ministry, Lord, as the services tape off. Oh, Father, how grateful we are that this tiny little church can expand over and over and over in homes across the country. And as we have received calls from Italy and from the Canadian Islands, we know now, Father, that you have created the internet for the purpose of reaching your people. And we thank you, Father, for that. And now, Lord, as we worship you, I want you to bless me so that I can open my mouth and share my heart with Christ Jesus alone, focusing him and talking about him alone, so that when we leave the service, we all can say we have been with Jesus. And then, Father, we are people, and because we are people, we're still in our bodies, and our bodies get ill from time to time. You know the struggles that I'm going through my infections and problems in my face. And, Father, we have other members here in church and my own daughter. And, Lord, we pray for your mercies and your healing power. And we pray for the comfort to know that you are God. Somebody told me the other day as I was sharing the difficulties that I have, they said, but, you know, God is still God. And that was enough for me to understand that he is in control. Oh, Father, help us to comfort in the fact that you know everything and that you know us and that you give us the best for our life, even though at moments we don't understand it. Now, Lord, bless us in the fellowship. May the choir sing with great might. May our brother who read the Bible read it with the heart. And may my lips honor you. In Jesus we pray and care. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you again. I just mentioned the phone number of our church. In mentioning the phone number of our church, I have forgot about telling you the area code. Our area code is 408. The phone number is 778-1438. And this is a desire of our heart to share with you this remarkable and wonderful ministry of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So please, if you are in the vicinity of our church, we encourage you to call us. We encourage you to share with us your life, and we will share the word and the comfort of God's word for us. And we love to pray for you even privately. I pray privately for many people who call me. Of course, I cannot do it over the air because that's your private matter. But please, we pray that you use us as a touch with God, okay? May God bless you, and thank you for listening. Let's join the service in progress.
will I feed as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light.
Your word. Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 883. Please stand now for the reading of God's word. Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath appointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Father, we praise you and thank you that we can come into your presence because of the obedience of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are thankful that we are alive at this stage of history, that we have your very words in the Bible, so that we may know you and your Son who purged our sins. Thank you for the gift of faith, that we may know our pre-incarnate Lord created all things and upholds them by the word of his power and is the heir of all things he created. We look for that day when he will return with great power and glory, and his supremacy over his creation will be displayed for all to see at the end of history. We ask now that you would bless your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to expose your word, that we would absorb the wisdom and direction for our lives that the Bible provides for us. We pray for those that remain unreconciled to you, that if there are any listening, that you would draw them to Christ and grant them repentance and bring them to a knowledge of the truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated.
Sorry for the noise, just changing microphones. This is the first Sunday of the month, and by tradition in our church, not by Bible instruction specifically, but by tradition, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we talk about the Lord all the time, but especially when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And if you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 24 and verse 25, you find the reason why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. What do we do when we celebrate the Lord's Supper? What is it in the Lord's Supper that is so important for believers to attend and participate and for the pastor to minister the Lord's Supper? There, the Apostle Paul, and in spite of the great argument that he never saw the Lord, said the Church of Corinth, and they argue with him about that, and in spite of that, this is what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. He said, "For I have received of the Lord," and for that sentence, you know, a second letter was written by Paul because people argue that he never saw the Lord, and he did on the desert of Arabia. He received of the Lord the commandment of the Lord's Supper, and he explained in verse 24 and in verse 25 why. He said, "And when he had given thanks," recalling what the Lord did, "he brake it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, when he shared the cup, look at what he said in verse 25. "After the same manner also, he took the cup." He's making a recall of what the Lord did. "And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. These ye, as ye often drink it, in remembrance of me." And so the Lord's Supper is nothing more than a pictorial, a great picture of the Lord in remembrance of me. And that gave pastors a wide open territory to preach about the Lord, because the Bible said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And specifically this morning, I want you to go home with a good remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Last month, we talked about the names of Jesus, and because we're in radio, I cannot finish those 17 listings of how the name Jesus is affecting the ministry of every one of us. And today I want to talk about one of the offices of the Lord Jesus. And if you turn your Bible to 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and in verse 5, I want to specifically remember the Lord Jesus for this great office that it is written here in the Bible. In 1 Timothy, in chapter 2, and in verse 5, the Apostle Paul makes this statement, "For there is one God." Now, when you witness to a Jewish person, Usually they said, oh, you evangelicals have three God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then it's good to mention to them that a Jew, one of our apostles, said, for there is one God. There is one God. And one, here's the word I want to speak to you today, mediator. One mediator. My King James Bible had the word mediator in capital M. It's not in the original in that way, but want to cut your eyes, your attention, the translators. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. And surprise me, the next statement, the man, Christ Jesus. Here is the full humanity of Christ, and there is a reason why that word man is there and not just Jesus Christ, just the man Christ Jesus. And I explained to you in a second why the Bible is specifically and clearly demonstrate that God and his business of reconciling his people fulfilled to the little details in the person of Christ Jesus. Now, we have this information in the Bible that Jesus is our mediator. Now, do you ever ask yourself why? Why do we need a mediator? Why I cannot pray and go into the most holy of holies in heaven and talk to God directly without this mediator? There is a reason for this, and the Bible explained that reason in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 24. At the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, God explained what he's going to do with Adam and Eve after they sin. And in verse 21, he said that he covered them, he protected them as a picture of righteousness. But something really happened drastic in Genesis chapter 3. Most of us remember verses 1 to 10, which is the moment in which Adam sinned, actually Eve sinned, and Adam got guilty because of that. But the key of the chapter is verse 24. Look at what the Bible says. So he drove out the man. And the word over there, Adam, includes his wife. Because remember, in Hebrews, there is no word for female. And that's what this dirty homosexual trying to play, that the Bible doesn't use female. Because we are in a species different than animals. And there are other Hebrews words who determine masculine and feminine. But when God talks about man, he talks about mankind. That's the word in English that will define the word Adam. And so he said, so he drove out mankind. And there were only two, Adam and Eve. And look at what he did. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so man can no longer reach God, which is there in Genesis 3. God is pictured as the tree of life in his way in Revelation explained. But mankind can no longer reach God. And so the reason for the mediator is that you alone and your own merits and your own goodness, even if you try the best with all the honesty of your life, you alone cannot reach God because God himself has separated from you, had nothing to do with you. He said goodbye. Not only did he say goodbye, he protected the way. If you know the book of Genesis, we study in this church for 2 years, the book of Genesis in Sunday school. I wrote the material, and many of you have it. And you know that mankind tried to reach God. And in Genesis 6, he tried to reach God and failed. In Genesis 11, remember the tower that man made, and he tried to reach God, and he failed. In your own, you try to reach God with honesty, but you fail. And the reason is God has designed this. You need a mediator. You need somebody to reach God and somebody that God will accept it. Now, if you need to talk to the president of any nation, you need a mediator. I remember years and years and years back, 1982, when I went to Nicaragua. And at that time was the revolution and the commander-in-chief was Ortega, remember? And the church wanted me to reach him and talk to him. And I don't want any business with politicians, but he said, you need to talk to him. And so happened that we have, his secretary was in the church. And so it was very easy for me to go with his secretary. We went into what is called over there the blue house, which here will be the pink house. And everybody will salute her, and she says, okay. And we were passing in until we reached the fellow sitting at the desk. And she introduced me, and the man greeted me and talked to me because I have a mediator that he was familiar with. And he accepted that invitation. The same thing when we went to Colombia. And we reached President Bentancur. His priest, his advisor in religious affairs, was one man who listened to family radio. And he waited for me in the airport, and we went into the presidential car, and we went to the palace, and we greeted the president because I have a mediator, not because I can go on my own merits. Now, if this happened in humanity, imagine when we talk about the holiness of heaven. You cannot do it alone. Mankind, from Adam and Eve, mankind have been separated from God. They took the choice to say, I'm going to disobey God. And so God said, you disobey me, go on your way, you never reach me again. But God has provided a mediator. And so the Bible said in 1 Timothy, in chapter 2 and in verse 5, remember, there is one God and one mediator. You know something? My grandma was Islamic, and they believed that Muhammad was a mediator. Every religion, Buddha is a mediator. No one of these religious people believe that they are God, but they are mediators between them and God. Now, why? Because God put in their heart that there is a God, and they cannot reach God alone, so they need a mediator. The problem is they're trying to use the wrong mediator. That's the problem. The idea is correct. We need a mediator. But you have to use the right mediator if you're going to be accepted. And the Bible said in 1 Timothy that Jesus Christ is the mediator. Now, I'm going to share with you three gorgeous things. Because Christ is our mediator. Three wonderful things that only those who believe in God can enjoy it. And I want you to treasure in your heart, so in the moment of sadness or in a particular moment of your life, remember these things are solid. They will not change, all right? Number one, because he is our mediator, we have a high priest. Number one, because he is our mediator, we have a high priest. Back in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, God started the plan of reconciliation. And in chapter 28 of the book of Exodus, and in verse 1, God gave us a hint of who will be our mediator or who will be the office of this mediator. In Exodus 28, God is speaking. And God is speaking to a politician, Moses. He was the prime minister of Israel. And he was not a priest. He was not the religious leader. You never see Moses doing the office of religious, but God will talk to Moses in the tabernacle, but Moses cannot touch anything in the tabernacle. That was only reserved for one person, his brother. Look at here in Exodus 28, verse 1. God said, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that ye may minister or serve me unto me in the priest's office." Hey, here's a new word, priest's office. What do you mean, priest's office? They were familiar with prophet. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 18:15 that Moses talking to the people, remember, he said, in Deuteronomy 18:15, he said, "The Lord will raise another prophet like me." They know what a prophet is. A prophet is somebody who will speak from God to the people. But priest, what is a priest? A priest is somebody who will speak to God on behalf of the people. A prophet is speak to the people on behalf of God. But a priest is speak to God on behalf of the people. And now God is saying right there in Exodus, in chapter 28, verse 1, he's saying, "Moses, just get Aaron and his children, and he will be my mediator." A great picture. A great picture of the great mediator, the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus is our mediator. We have a high priest. Isn't it amazing that religious leaders, include Christianity, have understood that clearly, but then because they do not see Jesus in some place, they created a succession of mediators. And today in Rome sits a man who his office is to be, in Latin, the vicar of Christ, the mediator of Christ. He's all wrong. It's so much that it's a blasphemy before God to say that a man will take the office of Jesus. It is gone when Jesus was born and died on the cross of Calvary. The book of Hebrews explained that he was accepted. All right? Now look, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 and verse 15. And look what the Bible said, who is our high priest? Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 14 and verse 15. Look at what the Bible says. Because he's our mediator, he's a high priest. He speaks on our behalf to God. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Is that enough for you? A great high priest that is passed into heaven. He doesn't sit on Rome, or doesn't sit in America, or in any place in the world. He sits in heaven. Jesus, capital S, the Son of God. That refers to Romans 1:4. Let us hold fast our profession. He said, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry about how you're going to reach heaven. We already have it. It's Jesus. But look at verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities. Now, that's why in 1 Timothy 2:5 said, the man Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ. That's why. It's a high priest that he was tempted. Remember Matthew chapter 4, 40 days under temptation. And he passed the test. He said, we have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted. That's Matthew chapter 4. Like as we are, yet without sin. Now I like a high priest like that. I like a high priest like that. We have a high priest. That means that when you and I are praying to God, we better go through the high priest. The rules are the same. Some people said, you Christians, you evangelicals, said me a Jewish friend, have changed the rules. We have a priest. So we. When we pray, we don't pray on my own merits. We pray on the merits of our high priest, the man Christ Jesus. Look with me, John 16. And verse 23. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 16, and in verse 23, look at what the Bible says. Jesus said, and the disciples never understood because Jesus was with him over there. And he's talking about the day that he's no longer going to be with them. And he said in John 16, 23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Why? Because he's the high priest. Some people think that there is a magic thing in the name of Jesus. There is no magic in the name of Jesus. He's the high priest, so we shall ask him in his name. Look with me, Ephesians 5:20. And, you know, you go to a restaurant and you are... and you pray, and sometimes you got the attention of people. And I was in San Diego for a breakfast, and we prayed together. And you know me, my voice is high, so I pray for the whole restaurant. And then the waitress was a believer. And she was waiting. She said, amen, 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 she said. And this is the man praying. You know, it's illegal for her to pray, but it's not illegal for a customer to pray, especially if you give a good tip. You know, here it is. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. In what name? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 20. That's what we close our prayers in the name of Jesus. There's no magic or anything. It's just a rule because we are saying to the Father, we come to you in the name of a high priest. And who is a high priest? One who lives forever, the Lord Jesus. And I don't have more time here to elaborate it. He was accepted of the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And all the beauties of these, maybe in another Sunday on the Lord's Supper, because I want to cover all the details. So, because he is our mediator, you and I have a high priest. A lot of people said, well, in your church you have pastors and deacons. You don't have priests. Sir, we have one. We have a chief priest. And where is he? In heaven. And he's accepted of the Father. Now, number two, because he's our mediator, we have a trial lawyer. A trial lawyer. I don't know if you've ever been in a criminal court in law, but in the criminal court, they use trial lawyers. Oh, in a court where they sue over $1 million or so because of family radio, I have been involved 2 or 3 times to present defense of certain points in court. And those trial lawyers are tough. I mean, they really know the law, and they really know what to say and how to listen and how to come back to you. But we have a trial lawyer. Now, some of the believers, I have the joy of preaching to a great crowd in San Diego. And after finishing, some person told me, he said, for 4 years I'm trying to find Jesus. And are you saying that what you said, that is Jesus? I don't say, I just read it. And it was so good to talk to this fellow. He was shaking all over. For 4 years I'm trying to find Jesus. And now I found it tonight, he said. It was such a joy, you know. And he said to me, you know, I have seen, and I thought that I was gone. No, sir. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. If that's the case, we're all gone. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. In case you are in the same view, that you think that because you sin, you are gone and no longer in the kingdom of God. We have a trial lawyer. You see, religions have invented the confessionary. Have you heard that? I went to all missions places where they have a confession booth. And I asked the priest, what is that? That's people cleaning their sin. And I looked inside and said, there is no soap or something to clean my sin inside here. What's going on? He said, well, they have to confess it to me. And who cleans your sin? You see, look at 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But there is a but. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, said the old King James, for the word lawyer. We have a lawyer, a parakleto, said the Greek. Para means beside, kleto is speaker. That's why in the American courts, following the Bible, the lawyer sits on your right. Para, beside you on your right, kleto is speaking. That's the way it's in court in America, just from the Bible. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have a lawyer with the Father. Who is the lawyer? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. He's the mediator. He's the trial lawyer. And what is he going to do as a trial lawyer? Well, look in Romans 8 and in verse 34. Romans 8 and verse 34. Here's what the Bible says, Romans 8 and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who what he does, who also, what he does, maketh intercession. For whom? For us, the believers. He's a trial lawyer. And even when we don't pray, he said, Father, forgive them. Oh, my credit. Oh, my blood. You confess your sin to him. 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins in the Bible. And we confess it to him. We get the cleansing from him. He's a trial lawyer. He bring our confession to the Father. And the Father see the blood of Christ and we are forgiven. The Father do not see our merits. The Father do not see our confession. The Father see Jesus' confession. It's on Jesus that we get saved. It's on Jesus that we get forgiven. It's not beautiful. We have a lawyer who is the winner. I remember I was in court in Chicago, and the advisor to us as we walked through the court said, don't worry, beside you there is a lawyer who is the winner. And you know what he said to me? He said, when you don't know what to say, don't say anything. That was his counsel. He just looked at a smile to everybody. And then because you're Spanish, you can say, ¿Qué pasa? You know, and you get along. He's our trial lawyer, the Lord Jesus. You don't need to go to a confessionary. You don't need to go to another man. Now, there is a process in the Bible in Matthew 18 where if you have offended your brother, you do this and do the other. But that's a process of a fellowship broken. But the process of being right with God is clear, done by Christ Jesus. He's a trial lawyer. You don't confess to a man. You don't go to a man for the forgiveness of your sin. You go to God for the forgiveness of your sin. But God will put his wrath on you. So you don't go alone. You bring your trial lawyer. And the trial lawyer will show his credentials. What are his credentials? The blood on the cross. And then you are okay. What a marvelous thing. Because he's our mediator, we have a trial lawyer. And I show one more thing for you. Number three, because he's our mediator, we have peace with God. Peace with God. Now remember, the Bible said that we were enemies, right? When we were yet enemies, God dealt with us. Now, if you read the word wrath in the Bible, and you deal with what God's going to do. If you read in Revelation 20 and 21, what God's going to do with those who believe not, cast them into the lake of fire. I mean, kick them like a soccer player, wow, into the lake of fire. No more. You know, some people think that God will say, will you please go to the lake of fire? No, that's not the way the judgment will be. God's going to get you by the neck and throw you away into the lake of fire if God's a baseball player. Now, here is what it is. We have peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Look at here. Peace with God. Because he is our mediator. Romans chapter 5, and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the church. No. Through reciting prayers? No. Through a big offering in the church? No. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, the only way to have peace with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is our mediator. How much peace? Come on, Pastor. Israel was an enemy of God. God divorced enemies in Malachi. So mad he was with Israel. Why? How can Jesus be our peacemaker? Well, here is an explanation. Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me. Ephesians chapter 2. It's just remarkable how God explained, it started in verse 11, how he make our peace with God. I'm reading from you Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hand. Now remember this, say Paul, that at that time ye were without Christ, without the anointing. The word Christ means anointing, without the anointing of God. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. All right? So you have no rights. And strangers from the covenant of the promise. Having no hope and without God, said the Bible, in the world, Gentiles. But look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And look at verse 14. For he is what? Our peace. He is the golden gate of the scripture, people in California. Jesus Christ is the golden gate of the scripture. He is our peace, who have made both one, Jewish people and Gentile people, one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is no partition. What are he talking about? Paul was a Hebrew. What are he talking about, the wall of partition? There was a wall of partition between the Gentile court and the Jewish court in the tabernacle, remember? And in the temple. In the court of the Gentiles, you cannot go into the court of the Jewish people because you get killed. And so he said, God took that wall away. Now think for a moment. Germany was divided between American Germany and Russian Germany. And by the mercy of God, there was a wall over there. And how many people have died trying to escape from one place to the other? But one day, under the counsel of God, that wall was down. And now Germany is one Germany. And that's what he's talking about. There were Gentile people and the holy people of God, Israel. But then, when Christ came in, that wall was down, and now we have an open wall. The same thing happened in the tabernacle. There was a veil, a curtain, that the high priest cannot see God. But when Christ died, that curtain was torn apart from the top to the bottom, so now we can penetrate the Holy of Holies because of Christ Jesus. Wow, why do people trying to invent and create something else? Why do we have to go through this ceremony and the other ceremony? All the ceremonial laws of the Bible were just a picture of the splendor and the greatness of Jesus. What do you want more? If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. Why do we have more? Because we are humans and we try to see things in a different way. But when you get this picture, it's just so outstanding. It's just so beautiful. Now the Lord's Supper said, remembering, do this in remembrance of me. I want you to remember Jesus as mediator today. When you partake of that bread and when you partake of that cup, remember, he is my mediator. I need no others. Jesus is everything I need. What a blessed time we live. Some people told me, you were lucky that you live in America, such a prosperous country. No, sir, I was blessed when my mother found the gospel. And my grandmother found the gospel. And I came in America with the gospel in my heart. That's the blessing. That's the blessing of your children. Doesn't matter what house they are. Doesn't matter what car they drive, what kind of clothing they have. The blessing is if they can have the mediator. Then you made it. You can go. I told people, I can go to heaven. I saw my two granddaughters being baptized. I can go to heaven in peace. In peace. I pass it on. Like 1 Timothy 2:2 said, the things you have heard from me, pass it on to other man. The other man will pass it on. I pass it on to Miriam. Miriam pass it on to their children. And that's our hope from grandparents, don't we? We grandparents go to our children. We play with them. I do crazy things with them. But the key is to pass on the gospel. That's what we need. Christ is our mediator. Now, if I have to preach this sermon in 2 minutes, I will use 2 Corinthians 5:18. That will be in a nutshell the whole sermon. 2 Corinthians 5:18. I was trained in the seminary that after you finish, you say the whole thing that you say in about less than 1 minute. And here it is. 2 Corinthians 5. And look in verse 18 what the Bible says. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. God hath reconciled us. Remember how I started in Genesis 3:24? God separated himself from the creation. Now God reconciled himself to the creation. Through whom? Through Christ Jesus. And not only that. He has given you and he has given me one thing to do. We do have, brother and sister, the ministry of reconciliation. When we talk about Jesus, it's with the only purpose not to show how much we know in the Bible, not to show how smart we are in doctrine, but to win that soul to the cause of the kingdom of God, because God is in business of reconciliation, and you and I should be in business of reconciliation. I keep saying to people, the Bible is not for argument. The Bible is for believing. I don't like to argue the Bible. I like to show the Bible so that people can believe. My brother and my sister, this is what the Lord's Supper is showing to you today. Because Christ is our wonderful mediator. He has given us reconciliation with God, and he has given you reconciliation ministry. So when you share the Bible, be tactful, be kind, be loving, so that you can win the soul. You kind of scare people like I do sometimes. I sit in the plane, I fly all over. And I said, if this plane, you know how much weight this plane at all, the fella? He said, no. I said, 220,000 pounds. You know how much air they needed? No. 2,000 revolutions per second. Do you know if one little drop of dirt goes into the engine, you know where we go? He said, no, we die. Then the guy move. That's the wrong way to share the gospel. He don't let me finish. Let's be kind to one another. And let's be kind to those who believe not, so we can win them. Because God has given to Bethel Baptist Church one ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you, Father, that in Christ Jesus, you have given us a mediator. Thank you, Father, that in Christ Jesus, you have provided for us a way of life in which we now are at peace with God. We now have a lawyer with God, and now we have a priest with God. Oh, Father, you have given us anything we need to be successful in this world. Help us to understand it. Help us to practice what we hear. And help us to have compassion in those who believe not, so that they too can be reconciled to Christ. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. sing the choir. Just singing like that, it's amazing how God really works. Now, did you push again the foot over there in the back? Or what? Okay, we got it. All right. We have young people being trained in the back, and it's just wonderful. We put up with all your mistakes, as long as you take the pastor to lunch. All right. Let's call the deacons. What is that deacon that came fresh? Brother Cassandra, where are you? You know, vacation, look at that. All right. We call Brother Cassandra, our chairman. It takes a liberty to take 2 weeks off. How he do that? All right, Brother Dulilo, are you there? Can you be available? All right. And Brother Mike, where is Brother Mike? Okay, good. If you change colors, and then I don't see you. All right. Sit down, please. You may be seated. Now, here it is, and Matthew says, it's easy to remember the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26:26, easy to remember. The Bible says, as they were eating, they have a dinner, a classical dinner, and Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body. And so the deacons will serve you, and you wait until the pastor is served, and then we all participate together in the body of Christ. Now I want to